The death of Daniel Prude following his suffocation while in the custody of Rochester police has made headlines across the country. A 1998 graduate of Brighton High School, now living in Atlanta, says the news hit her like a gut punch. Jen Wilsey is a white, anti-racist facilitator and consultant. She wrote an online letter recently titled, How a White Girl Learned White Supremacy in a Liberal Suburb of Rochester, New York. Jen Wilsey, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
You said in this letter that the urban-suburban program, which buses students in from the city into suburban schools like Brighton, where you attended school, taught you anti-blackness and white supremacy. What do you mean?
What I mean by that is that the whole program rests on the assumption that there is something superior about the majority white schools in suburbs like Brighton, and that there is something inferior about majority black schools in the city. And the program rests on this assumption, and it also rests on an assumption that nothing needs to change about the system and the current arrangements, that by busing a few black kids into schools like Brighton, it sends a paternalistic message that whiter, richer communities are doing something charitable for blacker, poorer communities. And I think this reinforces beliefs that teach us to believe in and respect the dignity of black people, of our black neighbors and our black peers and our black students.
So you said you recall being a student and seeing these other students being bussed in. And at the time, you thought they must be lucky to be attending school here in Brighton with me.
Well, I think that's what we were meant to believe.
Describe, if you would, your work now as an anti-racist facilitator and how your thinking evolved from what you just described, you know, growing up in Brighton, to get you into this field.
Well, it's been a really, really, really long road. It's meant that I've made choices again and again and again over the last 20 years to unlearn things that I was taught as a young person and to learn the true history of this country, which rests on a system of white supremacy that people, including my own ancestors, built and created and have maintained. And so what I'm doing now is working in partnership with my black colleague, Matisse Haynes, and other people of color who I partner with to support organizations to go through a cultural transformation process, where they learn how the system of racism really works and where they together get to a place where they can actually interrupt the system of racism and white supremacy so that we can get to a different future.
This all happened for you, what did you say, 17 years ago? And here now in this country, we are, some of us, just accepting these ideas that racism and inequality are alive and well in our country. What have you learned in the last couple of decades about how we can go about changing it?
Yeah, thank you for that question. Well, I wrote my letter as a love letter to white Rochesterians, and that was very purposeful because, you know, I've learned from black leaders like Alicia Garza from the Black Lives Matter movement and other folks who have said ending white supremacy is not black people's work to do, it's white people's work to do. And I think that's been a hard realization for me and for other white people I've seen. I wrote it as a love letter because I want to invite white people in to say, like, okay, you may be new to this journey, you're welcome, you know, welcome. You may have been on this journey for a long time and you're welcome. Like, we need all of us and we do need to step up. And even if it means we're scared, even if we don't know what to do, this is the time to listen to what our black neighbors and our black peers and black colleagues have been saying to us, you know, that we haven't been able to hear or that we haven't really put in the effort to hear before. Like, we need to do our part. This is our moment. This is the moment. I think that our future depends on it.
Well, as you kind of alluded to, some people can get defensive when they are told they're racist or that they have a lot to learn about racism. How optimistic are you that hearts and minds can change around racism?
I'm completely optimistic that hearts and minds can change. All it requires is a choice. none of us are born racist, but what it means to live in a white supremacist system is that starting from when each of us are babies, we start to soak up the beliefs of the society around us that are reflected in our policies and the structures, including the way our school systems are set up. And so we have to make a choice to clear the fog off that lens that we're looking through and look for the truth. So all it requires is a choice and returning to that choice day after day after day. And you know what? I've made a lot of mistakes in my efforts to be an anti-racist. I still have so much to learn. Like, this is a lifelong process of unlearning the white supremacy that lives inside of me. But even though, you know, I may not be able to uproot all of it, I can still be a very powerful anti-racist accomplice to the Black folks, Indigenous folks, and people of color who I care about.
Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us this morning.
Thank you. I really appreciate you reaching out. I wanted to extend my deep condolences to the family of Daniel Prude and deep gratitude to the organizers at Free the People Rochester and other organizers who've been doing amazing work on the ground to demand changes that will honor all Black life and make Rochester a much, much better place to live for people of all races.
That was Jen Wilsey, an anti-racist facilitator who wrote an online letter called How a White Girl Learned White Supremacy in a Liberal Suburb of Rochester, New York. And I'll put a link to that letter on our website, wxxinews.org.